You turn in your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you tonight, thanking you for this another day. God, we thank you for being with us and watching over us and everything we've done. God, we just thank you that you're there all the time. You're there whether we are or not, and we thank you for that, God. God, I just pray that you would be with the message tonight, that you would help me present your word like you've presented it to me. And God, I know if we will listen, that it will show us how to increase our relationship with you, but not only that, to keep it more constant. And God, I thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Tonight I'd like to look at a few instances in Peter's life. You know, sometimes we look at Peter's life and we see that his relationship with the Lord was kind of like a roller coaster. And I think we can relate to him. Our lives sometimes are roller coasters, but not only that, our relationship with the Lord. And it's not because of anything God does, it's but things that we do. We turn our back on Him, we try to handle things on our own. But I want to look at a few things tonight in Peter's life that will hopefully we can relate to and help us to bring our relationship with Him more constant. Not so much of an up and down, but more constant and faithful relationship with Him. We're going to get back to this verse I read in a few minutes, but if you would, back up to verse 31. He says, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Could you imagine what is going through Peter's mind? Now, granted, it's going to be a difficult day, not only for Jesus, but also for the disciples. And we see some highs from Peter, and we see some lows from Peter. And we're going to look at a few of those tonight. But try to relate to yourself to Peter. Think about these things. There's times in our life when we feel alone, we feel like the Lord is just so far away. He's not far away. He's always right there with us. In fact, He lives inside of us. But yet we get distracted. We get into flesh. We get into who knows what, thinking that the Lord's away. He's not doing what we think He needs to be doing. And I got to thinking about, you know, a lot of times we backslid even, you know. But sometimes we get complacent in our relationship with the Lord. We get stagnant. We get discouraged. We may even lose our desire to serve Him. We might even get out of His will. We may not want to go to church, you know. But, you know, we're very emotional people. And you know that Peter was very emotional, but I think all of us are emotional. But we're emotional because we try to handle things on our own. We don't let Him help us. We've got to have His help to live for Him. And He will strengthen us in those weak times, in those dark times. Whereas Satan, as he tried to sift Peter and attack him, we can defeat him and fend him off. You know, the most littlest petty things set us off sometimes. You know, as I was saying, we're emotional people, but when we get in this place, we get so selfish and petty and caught up in ourselves. You know? And I got to thinking about the least little thing, like, so-and-so didn't say anything to me at church today, or the preacher didn't shake my hand, or you know, these things, people don't even care about me. You know, that's the kind of things that runs through our mind. And I'm guilty of that too, and I'm sure you are as well. You know, we think that, you know, it all revolves around us, you know. And that's what we do. We get in the flesh and think that. But, you know, I think why it bothers us so much in our defense is that we do care so much about this church and about doing things for God. And when we go to His house, you know, we want to feel good. But sometimes we do get in the flesh and get wrapped up in what we think ought to be done. But, you know, especially the church this size, there's so many ministries and positions and jobs out there, and everybody's doing their things on Sunday and Wednesday night, and, you know, they've got their minds on that, you know? And we need to get off of ourselves and say, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Just because they didn't say anything to me doesn't mean that they don't care about me. But yet we get petty, and then that's when Satan attacks. He says, man, I can get that. And he starts attacking and getting in there, and he gets in full force trying to discourage us. But remember what Jesus told Peter. Satan is after you, but I'm here with you. And I'm always here. Remember what Jesus says about Satan. He's a liar and the father of it. You know, this morning we were studying in James about the tongue and how we need to bridle the tongue and be swift to hear but slow to speak. And there in James chapter 3, it talks about how the mouth is like a fire. I mean, you kindle it and it can explode. And sometimes we may say something before we think about it, before we know what we're saying, we say something, and then at that time it's too late. And it's like adding fuel to the fire, and it just explodes. But you see, Satan, he purposefully wants to make a mountain out of a molehill. He's purposefully wants to turn a spark into a wildfire. That's who he is. But I'm thankful we have God to turn to when we get into these areas. Turn over to Matthew chapter 4, and I just got a few examples of different places in Peter's life that we can relate to. And this first one here is when he was called to the ministry, called to be a disciple. Matthew 18, verse 4. Excuse me, Matthew 4, verse 18. Sorry. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren called Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Now we don't know how the Lord has been working in their lives, but we know He has, because immediately when the Lord came to them, they dropped everything they were doing. They just dropped their life and turned it over to God. You know, as Preacher Orr was preaching about this morning, how thankful that we know that we got to get lost before we get saved, you know? And I think that's what Peter here, he realized, I have no hope. And this man says, I've got some hope. And that's why he dropped everything and turned to him. All right, turn over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, verse 64. Again, Jesus is teaching here. John 6, verse 64 says, But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Now we could spend a lot of time on that, but I just want to mention, you know, here again, those people were wrapped up in themselves, thinking their salvation was based upon themselves. It's not based upon them. It's based upon the Lord and what He's done for them. But they couldn't accept that. So they turned their back on the Lord and walked away. Verse 67 says, Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will you also go away? Listen to what Peter says. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter knew it. He knew that the only hope he had, the only future he had, his only life, not only the life here on earth, but his eternal life was based upon Jesus. It was upon him. Jesus, and he said in 69, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter knew it. Peter knew it. I'll turn back to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? I think that's a question that all of us has to answer at one point or another in our life. Who is Jesus? Peter says, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now listen to what Jesus says to Peter here. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What an honor Jesus gave Peter. And we know Peter was involved. He was preaching at the day of Pentecost and was involved with John. And 5,000 souls were saved that day. God had a great ministry planned out for Peter. But as you'll see when we find out, Peter had some failures too. Just like we fail. Just like we turn our back on the Lord. Just like we may backslide a little bit. God still has a job for us to do. But let's continue on here. Just right after what Jesus said, or what Peter said, that thou art the Christ, and what Jesus said to Peter, listen to what happens. Verse 20. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again on the third day. He told them time and time again what he must do. He must die. He must be the Savior of the world. They couldn't accept it. Now listen to what Peter. He got into flesh. He's thinking about himself. He says, I've given my whole life to Jesus. What's he doing? Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter began to rebuke Jesus, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Like, you're crazy, Jesus. This is not going to happen. Listen to what Jesus says. But he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of me. See, he was in the flesh. He wasn't thinking about what God's ministry would be, what God's will would be. He was thinking about what's best for him. Oh, we're so guilty of that many times. So guilty of that many times. You know, when we do fail him, then Satan tries to capitalize on that as well. We fail. We turn our back on the Lord, and he just tries to attack more and more. You know? But just never give up. You guys know the life of Peter and what he did and what he went through. God never gave up on him. And God will never give up on us either. You know, he's right there waiting for us. When we fail him, he's right there waiting for us to take him back. Yeah, I heard someone say one time, if the Lord may feel like he's a million miles away, but he's only one step back. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, I will never leave you or forsake you. He's right there with us time and time again. He says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. You see, Satan tries to think that we have no hope, that we have no answers, that we don't have the ability, that we don't have anything to do, we don't are not worthy, we're not up to God's standards, and he tries to defeat us, but yet God is greater than he is. Greater is he that is in you than he's in the world. But remember this. Not only God is always there for us, he loves us unconditionally. Regardless of what we do or don't do. You know the verse, and I quote it a lot, Romans 5:8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died. We didn't have to clean up everything before we come to him. He died for us. He was our Savior and Lord before we straightened our lives out. He loves us unconditionally. Now, if you would turn back to Luke 22. Very familiar story of Peter's life. You think about the highs and lows, and we talked about this chapter, you know, Jesus told him that Satan's looking to sift him as wheat, that he would never turn back. I'll go to prison with you. I'll die for you. And just a few hours before this, Peter cut off a soldier's ear defending Jesus. But look what's happened just a few hours later. Could you imagine the emotions that's going through Peter's mind at this time? Luke 22, verse 54. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire, and earnestly looked upon him, and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour, after another comfortably affirmed, saying, "Of a truth, this fellow also was with them, for he is a Galilean." If you read the account in Matthew, it says that Peter even cursed at those people when he denied it. But listen, he says in verse 60, "And Peter said, Man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Can you relate to Peter? Listen to this. It says, "And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter." Jesus was getting ready to be whipped beyond recognition. Jesus was getting ready to be nailed to the cross with a crown of thorns put upon his head and die for the sins of the whole world. But at that moment, he didn't look at Peter in condemnation. He looked to him in love. He wanted to make a point to Peter that he was still with him. He's still with us when we turn our back on him. And he wants us to reach out to him and know that he's right there with us. Jesus loves us so much. And he turned and looked upon Peter. Oh, how he loves us. Man, that just stirred me up when I was studying. And I just thank the Lord how much he loves us no matter what we do. So if Satan's trying to defeat you and what you're doing, and you think you're discouraged and you're lost and you're away from the Lord, Jesus is looking and looking. And he wants to restore that relationship with you. He wants to make it great and awesome. And he wants you to depend upon him. We can't do this in the flesh. We can't do this on our own. We have to have his help. We have to spend time with him. We have to depend upon him. And we've got to be hand in hand with him so that those attacks from Satan just bounce off. We've got to depend upon him. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And the Lord turned and looked upon Brian. And the Lord turned and looked at you. He didn't look in condemnation. He looks because he loves you. And he wants you and you and you and you and you in that perfect relationship with him. He's right there waiting for you. If the musicians would come at this time, I'm going to close and one more verse of Scripture, or one more group of verses of Scripture, but if Brenda would come and start playing. As I was saying earlier, Peter had a roller coaster ride. Very emotional, but we're the same way. You know, I probably relate to him more than Paul or any of the other disciples. You know, sometimes I get so petty and so defeated and so discouraged about the least little thing. But God has a purpose for each and every one of us. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. 1 Peter chapter 1. Listen to what Peter says here. This was 40 years, around 40 years after the death of Jesus. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Now listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy. I wonder how many times Peter thought about that look that Jesus turned to me, to him. It wasn't a glance, it was a purposeful turn and looked at Peter. How many times in his life he thought about that? And he knew how much Jesus loved him. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, we just read that Peter didn't. You're crazy, Lord. He rebuked the Lord. You're not going to die. Now, as time goes on, Jesus died and He rose again on the third day. He appeared to the disciples and many, and He ascended to the Father. Could you imagine the fulfillment of the faith that Peter had now? A lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Does anybody feel defeated? Would you like to come and just reach out to the Lord and say, God, I need your help. I've tried to handle things on my own. I've tried to do things myself. I've got wrapped up in myself, but I need you. We all need Him. Would anybody like to come and restore that relationship with Him tonight? Maybe you don't have a relationship with the Lord. Maybe you've never accepted Him as Lord and Savior. I pray tonight that you'd come to know Him. If God is calling you, I ask that you come. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Don't do it before it's too late. He's coming back. Peter just read it. Do you believe it? I believe God's Word. Jesus is coming back. And we have an inheritance incorruptible in heaven, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's reserved for us that know Him. Come if you would. Does anybody need to come and restore that relationship with Him? Maybe you just need to ask the Lord to help you, give you wisdom about whatever is going on in your life. You know, I don't know what, you know, is in your mind, but you and the Lord do, and I ask that you do the business that God is calling you to do at this time. Y'all come as the Lord sees fit.